Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks originally played back on September 16th, 2011. It's the testimony of Christian singer Brian Arner, who has come to our church a few times, and we believe that his testimony will encourage you today. Welcome again to another edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Kerry Willis, Grayson's daddy. We're here today and we're really humbled as usual, as always, to have you join in. And we pray that this will be a day of encouragement for you. We're trying to speak good news into a world that has a lot of bad views, I guess. And today we have someone with us that's just a great, great lover of God. That's the best way I know to say it. His name is Brian Arner. And Brian, I met Brian. He didn't know I met him because it was at a concert. But I got to know of Brian back in 1993 when my wife and I were in Bible college in Colorado Springs. And Brian came through on a Sunday evening to sing at the church we attended. And back in those Bible school days, you know, we were looking for anything that didn't cost us. And we showed up at the sanctuary that night, and Brian Arner, I think from Florida at the time, was singing, and it was a life-changing night for us. So, Brian, welcome here to our little humble studio, and how are you doing?
Doing great today. Thank you, Pastor Kerry, for having me on here.
Well, that's awesome, man. I've already repented kind of not having Brian come earlier at our church. We happen to be having a little kind of a summer emphasis called Indoor Camp Meeting, and Dr. Stephen Manley is our speaker. And Dr. Manley and Brian have a relationship, and we got talking a little bit. I didn't know you were traveling, Brian, on the road, so you've probably been doing that a while. I'm catching up slowly.
Sure, yeah. It's been about 22 years that I've been doing it full-time, and then I really was bivocational and doing the music part-time for about, I'm looking back now, about 7 years before that I did it part-time. So, yeah, more years than I want to think about, really.
Well, you still look good, brother. You still look young, youthfully young. We want to just talk a little bit about where you were raised. Tell us a little bit about your childhood, Brian.
I was born in Canton, Ohio, right there where the Hall of Fame is, right? This hospital, literally, I was born in. It was across the street there from the Hall of Fame. And I lived there. We belonged to the Methodist Church there and in Canton. And my dad led a lot of the music, and my mom played the piano and the organ. And so I was raised around music all the time, you know. And that continued as my dad just decided to move south one time, just got tired of the cold and the snow and the, you know. I think it's usually that late January, February, when the snow is just on the sides of the roads covered with black stuff from the splash of tires and all. And he said, you know, I'd love to just to go south. And so we moved south in 1972, and I was still a boy, of course, and we began going to the Nazarene Church at that time, and they continued in ministry, Mom and Dad did. And so I grew up, you know, my brothers and I on the front row watching Dad, you know, direct choir and direct music, and Mom play the piano and the organ. And I joke, I went to church 9 months before I was born, you know.
Yes, you
so
did.
It was one of those kind of situations I grew up in. And you know, the Lord began to speak to me very early. I was saved at the age of 12 then, shortly after we got to Florida. Amen. I gave my heart to the Lord. And, you know, I was a typical teenager, you know, those years of, I thought back to my brothers and I sitting in church. You know, we had to come early for choir practice, and we'd bring those matchbox cars or those toys to play with. And, you know, boys playing with cars, inevitably there'll be wrecks, you know, and so if ambulance was that, would have to come and things like that. And
yes.
So we learned that those noises maybe we could get by with during choir practice, but not during church. And so my dad could come down and swat us and turn us around on the pew and get our attention. But as I got older, I realized as we played the silly games, you know, as teenagers and the passing notes or whatever you were doing in church, when the Spirit took hold of that service, you know,
yes.
And you'd hear an old saint just sing out an old song, you know, and You knew something was happening there, you know, and you'd look around the sanctuary and see the folks with the gray hair, you know, the tears rolling down their faces and those kinds of things. Yeah. And so those are the things that are, I think, are so important. I want my boys to experience is, you know, going to church isn't just checking the box. Okay, I went to church today. Yeah. There's a presence of the Lord there that I want them to see and experience. And it was exciting even as a kid to see it happen, you know. So anyway, went on through high school, played sports in high school, really wasn't involved in music. You know, I mean, our youth group did some singing and, you know, had a youth choir and all. And I tried to sing bass. I was, you know, tried to be a bass singer. And that just never happened. I was, you know, going to be a tenor no matter what. So went on to college and studied business. Still didn't know what I wanted to do. And because we were in Florida, I began my own landscaping and lawn service. And so that's what I was doing when my wife and I were engaged. And we were taking part in a musical that our college and career Sunday school class was doing. And I sang a solo, and there was a gentleman in the audience who was studying with the Tampa Bay Opera Company. And he said, "You need to come and sing for my voice teacher." Well, opera was the last thing I wanted to hear about. You know, I grew up playing the radio like every other kid, and it was either country music or pop music or, you know, something at church, but never something that I would consider doing as a living. And so, but I went, I finally, the guy, you know, there's only so many hallways you can run down to avoid somebody at church. You know, you finally have to meet face to face with them. And so I decided it would be easier to go and sing for this voice teacher.
What a story.
And so I did, and the guy got things out of me that first day that I, you know, I would goof around and imitate an opera singer, but I didn't know that was really what they were doing, and I was doing it correctly, you know. And so he taught me, and I ended up studying from him for about 20 years, a little over 20 years.
Wow.
And he's 89. Wow. And so anyway, during those years of singing, funny thing that happened, I was singing at the Performing Arts Center there in Clearwater, Florida, and it sits right on the bay. And I had on a tuxedo, and of course, I'm still cutting grass, and I'm still doing all this thing. And so, but I show up there in a tuxedo, and there's a grand piano on the stage, and I walk out to sing my first song thinking, you know, I'd finally made it, you know. And
yeah.
A lady sitting in the audience, sitting just behind my wife, and of course, the lady did not know that that was my wife. And the lady, as I walked up there to sing, the lady said, "That's my lawn man," you know. So that's the big joke
that
comes back to haunt me every once in a while. You know, these people say, "Hey, you're my lawman." But God began to open doors, and the opera was wonderful training, and it's pretty music and all of that. It came down to what can I, you know, lean into and sing from the bottom of my heart every time I get up to sing. And it was, you know, gospel music. It was Christian music, you know, the message of our Savior. You know, that I realized could change people's lives for eternity. You know, opera's nice entertainment. It's nice,
sure.
You know, and all of that. But the gospel shared through music can change people's lives forever. And so I began to feel the weight of that. And I began, when I sang, to see people get up and come to the altar during a song. You know, and I thought, wow, this could be a really rewarding way to spend my life, Lord. Wow. If you want to open the doors, if it's your will, then this is where I want to walk. And so he just continued to do that. You know, the doors continued to open, and I just continued to walk through in faith. And so about 7 years of doing that part-time, I sold my lawn service because I was having to turn down offers to come and sing here. They were too far away to go because I had my lawn service to take care of. So I, in faith, sold that in 1990 and began doing this full-time. So.
Wow. I'm just overwhelmed with joy. It's such a joyful story.
Yeah.
Not without bumps, I'm sure.
Oh my.
But the man, the one man who heard you sing, who recognized you had a gift you didn't even know you had.
Yes.
What was that man's name?
Bruce Goodrich.
Bruce.
And he lives in Charlotte, North Carolina.
God bless Bruce.
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to believe in you,
even
though you didn't know what it was all about. Just the power of one life to change the trajectory of your life. Well, Kim and I, when we heard you there in 93, you were just pretty fresh on the road.
Yes, that was just been my third year out.
I know you get these comparisons with Steve Green.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's impossible not to get that comparison. We have a dear friend, Jim Cole, and he's like, everybody calls him the Christian James Taylor. He tells me, well, I pray for James to get saved, but I'm not sure if I'd have a job if he did.
Yeah.
But Steve, we know Steve Green is living for the Lord, at least, yes, as we think and believe.
Yes.
You get that comparison, and was he an inspiration to you?
You know, I didn't know who he was when I started singing like I sing. And and so what I heard a lot of the time, because he had been out there probably 10 years when I got started.
Right.
But I really didn't know who he was. And I heard people, a lot of churches I went to, they'd say, well, you need to have your own style. You need to have your own. And I thought, this is it, man.
That's all I got.
I'm not trying to copy him, you know. Yeah. But I think no one, once I learned of him, I started, you know, looking for his music and listening to his music. And I think probably no one had more impact on my music than Steve did.
It became an affirmation of sorts.
Oh, my. And it was very convenient because I was at a point where I couldn't afford a lot of recordings or making soundtracks. And,
sure.
And all, well, the majority of what Steve had out there, I could sing.
Right.
So, yeah, early on, those early years, I was it probably appeared to some people I was trying to be a Steve Green sound alike and, you know, all that.
Well, that's what Jim Cole says. You know, he says, I don't sing like James Taylor. He sings like me.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a favorite Steve Green song? I mean, if they just said, hey, you got one song, we'll give you 5 minutes. It's got to be a Steve Green song.
Oh, my.
Do you have a song that you're saying, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be this one?
Probably He Holds the Keys. Yeah.
It's just hallelujah.
I love the drama of the song. You know, I recently recorded He's Alive that Don Francisco.
Oh, my, yes.
And so I love those songs that have a lot of, you know, there's a story in it, but there's, you know, it's a... I'm maybe a Christian version of Phantom of the Opera, you know, kind of that thing, you know. So
now that new album that you just came out with, that has the song on it?
Yes, Grace and Peace is the name of the album.
Now tell our listeners how they can find your music. You have like a website?
I do. It's Brian with an I, Arner, A-R-N-E-R, Ministries.com. Brian Arner Ministries.com.
Brian Arner Ministries.com. Now while you're writing that down, we're going to take a little pause. And we're going to listen to a Brian Arner song and come back on the other side of this and we'll complete this story. God bless. Oh, you will be blessed. Just listen up.
Secures, he will. the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be.
Now you know what I mean, Brian Arner. You also, Brian, will come and do concerts and revival meetings.
That's right.
Can you give us a little bit of idea of what you're up to? It's summer as we're recording, and so what does the summer and the other parts of the year look for you and your availability and that kind of thing?
Well, it's I still take my bookings first come, first serve, you know, and I do all my own booking. So sometimes I'm doing a camp meeting somewhere. Sometimes I'll be doing a revival like I am this week with you and, you know, the special music for the revival. Or and sometimes I'm doing concerts. And I seem to do more concerts, you know, during the Christmas season. In spring and fall seems to be a good concert.
So,
time.
You have like a Christmas concert? You do?
I do. Yes.
Wow,
yes.
I'm learning
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So you go and do concerts, and you just answer the phone when people call.
I do.
Email.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yes.
It's still a ministry for you, isn't it, Brian?
It really is, and I've enjoyed that one-on-one contact. And building relationships with pastors and worship leaders, you know.
I feel almost cheated that I didn't know this for the last 17 years.
Well,
I should have paid attention more. But, hey, we got time, hopefully, to make up for
yes.
lost time. Now, you do worship leading. Tell us a little bit about the different kinds of music that you sing. I mean, you seem to have a real blend is what I call it, but it's something beyond that. I can't quite explain it. Now, you have your boys traveling with you sometimes, and they got a little more of that young thing going, right?
Right, so more contemporary.
Keeps you kind of relevant, you know, having them, I'm sure, with teens all around. But
yes.
tell me a little bit about your music, maybe how you select it or, you know, just what it sounds like to the person who hasn't heard you. This is kind of what I love to sing, and these are the reasons why, maybe.
Sure. Well, you know, I grew up, you know, in a time where it was in the church, it was at least where I was growing up, it was all hymns, you know. And then I have two teenage boys who are extremely contemporary. But are very, very gifted and still work very hard on having quality music. So what I try to choose is music with good content, with good theology, and some meat to it. Because again, you know,
yes.
some days, you know, you have to sing more than you want to sing. You know what I mean? It's easy to sing when you feel like singing, but some days you don't always feel like singing when you have to do it for a living. And so, but man, when you start singing the song, you know, when the song starts ministering to you, you know, there's an anointing and you know, just an energy that comes that the Lord gives, I believe. And so I try to choose songs that are not just, hey, that song's got a great beat or that song's got a catchy phrase or,
yeah.
you know, it's got to have some real meat to it,
yes.
is what I call
yeah,
it.
You're not just out there to just blow your voice off.
Right. I mean,
you really want a message
yes.
to come
yeah.
through you
yes.
to the people. Now, the song that I remember from that concert in 93, it was Lord, I Want to Know You More.
Oh, yeah.
I
yeah.
guess I had to have heard that
yes.
night.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, to me, when I think Brian Arner, I think that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, your gifting is more the singing, not the songwriting? Or,
yeah, that's right,
yeah.
yes. Yeah.
And we sing that song here all the time. It's a great song of response
right.
and about relationship. And there's not a time that we sing it that I don't think of you.
How about that?
Well, you know, so if somebody said, if Brian, we're going to just sing one song for you, you got 5 minutes, I'd have to say, please pull that out. And Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Oh, yeah.
I think
yeah.
that was a real early
it was,
a favorite
yeah.
of yours.
Right.
So do you go sometimes and sing with choirs? I mean,
I do, you know, depending on the situation again.
Yeah.
A lot of times, if I spend a day at a church all day Sunday in the morning, I'll do a few solos or a couple numbers with the choir. And then stay for that evening and do a concert or something like
That's
that.
That's great
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, we just wanted to take a little bit of time for our people to know you.
Okay.
And in the last few minutes that we have here, why don't you just share with us just anything that's on your heart? It can be a minute. It could be 5 minutes. You might want to pray. You know, I don't really know. But I know that you've got something to say, not just something to sing.
Yes.
So just tell us, or maybe how we could pray for you, anything that you want to share on your heart.
Well, thank you. My biggest desire is to be effective in ministry. I don't ever want to become one who's going through the motions or is not being a conduit for the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
You know, I've had some challenges this summer. I've had several venues that have been outside, and so prolonged meetings outside. And so I have allergies, and there was a week where I had very little of my voice to use, you know, and it becomes very frustrating and it becomes very scary as you step out to sing the songs that they bring you in to sing and you don't have those notes, you know, or you're not sure if you have those notes. It works on you emotionally.
Some people play instruments. Your voice is the instrument.
And if you could just take it out and put it away and keep it nice till the next day when you needed it. And so it's been a summer. I've really had to watch how much speaking I'm doing because you have to rest your voice. And I've been dealing with this for some time. And like you mentioned you read Oswald Chambers almost every day. And so I have his devotional daily journal, opened it, and what spoke to me. And I have this curse when I start talking about things like this, I start weeping. And so hey, I'm going to try not to break and cry and cry in front of you. But what I read in there, the gist of it was, is there anything in there in your life that you depend on more then you depend on God.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, you know, I'm a dad and I want to provide.
Yes.
And my way of providing is this throat, is this voice. And I do. Do I value it? Have I made it more important than being a willing, open vessel that God can fill? Because that's what ministry is.
Yes.
Is being filled with Him and allowing that to spill over on other people. So, that's my heart, is that that if God allow me to have my throat, I'll spill over, you know, on more people. But if it's just the point of, hey, if I'm rubbing shoulders with somebody and I don't have a singing voice or I can't talk, hey, I still can minister to that guy. And that is what's most important.
Well, brother, I heard you sing last night, and I can tell you that you're not just a singer for God. You're a lover of God.
Mm, yeah.
And that's why we ask you into the room. And I'm going to ask my boy to pray for you.
Mm.
He's my son. He's my brother, too, in Christ, Grayson. Mm. And we just are moved that you're here.
Mm.
And I am full of anticipation, Brian,
mm.
At what God is doing and will do in your life yet and in your boys' futures. I can see that the influence has touched them and your precious wife who holds the family together. And I'm just glad God brought us back together, brother.
Oh, me too.
And I'm glad I really got to meet you, not just see you, you know.
Yeah,
and I have a
yeah.
cassette tape of you in my closet at home.
That's exciting. That's
but,
exciting.
But I got a new CD now.
Yeah.
And after Grayson prays, we're going to have another Brian Arner song. And remember, it's all about getting Jesus lifted up.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have to talk with Brian and for him to share his testimony, Lord. And we also thank you for this week, these last couple of days that we've had for a revival service. And it's been a great opportunity for our church, Lord. And we thank you for Brian coming with his sons to lead worship for us the last couple of nights. And it's really been great to hear him, Lord. And we thank you for giving him the talents that you've given him, the voice that you've given him. And we thank you that he's decided to use those for your glory, Lord. And thank you for giving him the strength and the abilities to do that, Lord. And continue to bless him and his family, Lord. And help them to feel your presence at all times in everything that they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Fastened down, I spent the night in sleeplessness, and I rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. It was just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they must have moved him in the night, but none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, and John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how aware they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, again. Guilt and anguish came. Everything I had promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Melted.